Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Evolution Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Dea Swandrea Pennington Vazio. Today, I have the great pleasure of interviewing a friend and a colleague, Sunny Strasberg. She is the author of The Theradelic Approach, and she offers a really comprehensive model for delivering psychedelic therapy. And I think you're going to love this conversation because Sunny's background includes being an artist, a former Jungian therapist, and she brings together wisdom from psychedelics, internal family systems, or IFS, and EMDR, along with archetypal imagery. And so we get to explore how it is for her to be now teaching, training, and certifying other therapists in this work, as well as speaking internationally. So check out the episode if you have been curious about what it takes to really tune into all of your parts in a psychedelic journey and how it would be to work with someone. This episode is for you. It's time to upgrade your life. In this podcast and our live events and retreats, we explore ways to hack enlightenment by integrating ancient wisdom and modern neuroscience with transpersonal psychology. From plant medicine and psychedelics to breathwork, mindfulness, and neurofeedback, my guests and I will shine a light on the unique capacity that we have to use our conscious mind to evolve individually and collectively as a species. Tune in each week on your favorite podcast player or the Pennington Media YouTube channel for interviews and discussions about holistic healing of trauma and adverse childhood experiences, burnout recovery, and intentional wellness. Sunny Strasberg, it is so wonderful to connect with you again. Thank you for being here on the Conscious Evolution Podcast.
I'm so honored to be here, and you're one of my heroes. I admire you so much, so I feel very lucky to spend some time with you. It's an honor.
Well, it's a mutual admiration club going on here. I'm so grateful that you shared a special interview and presentation for the Ultimate Guide to Safe Psychedelic Preparation. Our students loved your presence, and I'm glad that we can also just have a little more of a chill conversation about your background. I have thoroughly enjoyed and been so proud to have gotten a copy of The Theradelic Approach. Really, really thoughtful, and it's short, but super duper packed. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you. Thanks. It was really fun. I think I had the most fun doing the audiobook and recording it. That was such a delight to do. And yeah, it's just been a really delightful process to have the book out there and be able to talk about it, you know? Yeah. It's great.
And then you also are going to be training people and letting people learn the Theradelic Approach. How would you describe, you know, briefly, give people an idea of what is the Theradelic Approach?
Sure. You know, I've been training people for a long time in psychedelic therapy, and I was noticing that there were some things missing from the trainings. Everybody talks about preparation, you know, sitting for people and integration. I think that's a pretty common structure to training, and it's important and essential. But I felt like a few things were missing from what I was seeing. One was really specific tools, giving people really specific tools about what to use when that would be helpful in a psychedelic therapy session. You know, training people in this method you need a pretty advanced skill set to be a really great psychedelic therapist. And so, you know, I'm certified in EMDR and trained in IFS and originally trained in archetypal psychology. And these three methodologies lend themselves so beautifully to psychedelic therapy, but different parts of them, different techniques within each modality are more applicable during different times in the psychedelic therapy session. So that was really a big impetus for the Theradelic approach was, you know, how could you use EMDR in a psychedelic therapy session? How can you use IFS? How can you use archetypal psychology? In addition, I feel like it's very important for psychedelic therapists to be trauma-informed and trauma-trained.
Yeah.
And that was a big part of the book. And also, you know, the first section of the book is really exploring, you know, how we're arriving in this psychedelic, you know, renaissance and, you know, what's happening in our larger society. And I'm really seeing this need right now for more connection, more belonging, more connection to nature, more expansive consciousness and mysticism in our culture that really meets the needs that we have right now. So that's woven into the book too, is just the larger cultural context and the importance that I think psychedelics have right now. And finally, another aspect of the Theradelic approach is, you know, I wanted to speak to the importance of being an ethical practitioner.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of potential danger in this field that I think we need to talk more about. You know, my specialty is in sexual trauma, working with clients with sexual trauma. And, you know, I've heard some things in the psychedelic world that are really concerning because people are very vulnerable in these situations. So, you know, I address that in the book too. You know, what does it mean to be ethical? What does it mean to, you know, not get caught up in the guru complex, you know, these types of things. So that's also in the book. So yeah, that was my contribution to the psychedelic renaissance right now. And I'm looking forward to writing more.
Well, I look forward to reading more. I do feel like it's a very comprehensive look at where we are today and what's really needed. And I want to sort of take some of these unique points about your background. I mean, we won't even touch on the arts yet, but I love that you're also an artist. I really think it's important because as we're getting into these liminal spaces, this expanded consciousness, we bring up aspects of ourselves that can really support people in the unfolding. But before we get into what everyone's talking about with IFS, for example, I'd like to first kind of double tap on EMDR. Well, double tap, get it? That was not intended. It was not intended. But yeah, because, you know, there are a few people that I'm starting to hear more and more that are saying, you know, EMDR could be a wonderful complement to prep and integration. I don't know if anyone's doing it while they're under the influence, maybe with ketamine. I've heard of people in the ketamine journey doing it. But talk to me a little bit about how you are seeing EMDR in this approach.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm actually, I think I'm the only speaker on psychedelics at the EMDR Worldwide Conference in April. I'm doing a presentation on psychedelics and EMDR if people are interested. So EMDR is very valuable, the way that I see it, as a specific tool, like a targeted tool, especially for trauma. I love using EMDR phase three. It's called the float back method in the preparation for psychedelic therapy, that we can really do some great trauma mapping prior to the actual dosing session. So EMDR is very effective for that. I actually do use sometimes EMDR tappers during a ketamine session. People are very sensitive, so they can't do things like move their eyes while on ketamine. You know, you can get dizzy or sick. But having the tappers for some people that have state-dependent trauma of a freeze response, a dissociation response, can really help them if they hold on to the tappers or even put them underneath their back or something or their legs, can help them feel grounded and connected to their body if they have anxiety about that. So I have used that bilateral stimulation with the tappers during the ketamine session. And then coming out of the ketamine session, there's this time that I call the golden hour. And you could say this applies to MDMA, psilocybin, other psychedelics as well. But during what I call the golden hour, people are very open. In internal family systems language, we would say their protectors are softened, right? And we have access to deeper parts of the psyche. And using EMDR language, we work really hard to get people in what's called the window of tolerance, where they're not hyper aroused and very upset and triggered in a trauma response. And they're not hypo aroused where they feel nothing. And sometimes for highly traumatized people, you know, with CPTSD, it's very difficult to get them in that window. But things like ketamine can soothe the nervous system so that as they're emerging out of their journey, they're able to be in that window of tolerance. So then you can do the bilateral phase four stimulation with EMDR and get some great work done. So I've had clients tell me, wow, that was like 10 sessions in an hour with EMDR. Right? Because you're just really working through that trauma in a way that where their nervous system is soothed.
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me.
Yeah. So that's how I would interweave EMDR into the session. It's less common because people are usually pretty glowing and relaxed after a ketamine session. So that's typically for people that are really, you know, working on something that's really acute that I'll use that for. I tend to use IFS as people are coming out more.
Yeah. If you have felt drawn to sit with psilocybin, then I invite you to join us on retreat in the Netherlands, where it is completely legal and safely facilitated with me and an expert team. We are all trauma trained, trauma informed, culturally competent and sensitive facilitators, and you will be held with the utmost care so that you can safely dive into your psyche for deep healing and conscious evolution. So check out our website at onedrea.com. That's the number one, D-R-E-A.com. And you can learn more about each of our variety of psilocybin truffle retreats in the Netherlands. I look forward to seeing you there. Well, I'd love to talk about IFS. It's what you presented for us in the Ultimate Guide course. For me, I've just seen an IFS style of journey happens spontaneously in my own journeys. For people that I know have never done any inner child work, they describe connecting with inner child parts during mushroom journeys and in ayahuasca. So I feel like if you had some structured preparation, getting to know your parts and integration, it could be really, really powerful. So talk to me about how, I mean, well, obviously now you're training people, you're working with Dick Schwartz, the creator of the IFS model, but just give us a little tidbit.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up because IFS, you know, type of parts and these different aspects of the psyche show up all the time in psychedelic journeys. They show up in our dreams, right? Yeah. And so I love to look at this kind of backwards, and Dick Schwartz would validate this for sure, because he talks about it a lot. He feels like he just downloaded something that was true, right? He doesn't feel like he created it. He feels more like he just translated something that was moving through him. And I think that's probably right, because our psyche works this way. We are a multiplicity of personalities and different. I mean, we even talk about this all the time naturally. We say, oh, part of me wants to do this and part of me wants to do that, right? And so our psyche already works that way. So having internal family systems as a structure to frame around is super helpful, because it gives us a common language that we can talk about. And very importantly, when we train therapists, we have a model now that we can train in, and we can all relate to this, and it's trainable. Something that I really admire about Dick Schwartz that was a huge inspiration for the Theradelic approach is he's taken something that's very qualitative and turned it into a quantifiable, teachable model that's very elegant and simple. And that's pretty remarkable, right? So the way that I use IFS is pretty seamless with what people are already doing. You know, in the preparation phase, I'm working on things like, you know, doing parts mapping. So talking about kind of parts they're noticing, and getting the client familiar with the landscape of their psyche, right? So that this is a suggestion for when they enter the IFS, or I'm sorry, the ketamine session or the psychedelic session, they have that language already. They're already thinking that way. Also extremely important in the preparation phase is actively and explicitly working with protectors before the dosing session. This is one of the most important things in the Theradelic approach, is to really have an explicit conversation with the protectors and saying, how do you feel about this medicine session coming up? Are you comfortable with it? And it's very interesting, Wondre, because people will come and say, I'm ready. All, you know, I want to do this ketamine or this journey. It's my last chance. I can't wait. This is everything. Let's go. And whenever someone says that to me, I'm always thinking, okay, there are parts of you that are front and center, but there's probably a polarized part behind there that's a little bit reticent. And there might be a part back there that's saying, what if this doesn't work and this is my last chance, right? Or what happens if I take a lot of ketamine and I lose control? Or what happens if I don't come back? I mean, these are inevitably questions that the protectors have. And so really bringing those voices forward and having a conversation and getting consent from the entire internal ecosystem becomes very important in the psychedelic medicine journey, right? And then through the session, as they're exiting out the other side, whatever medicine it is, as they're coming back, we're saying, how is that for your protectors? Let's update the protectors about what happened. Because if people go really deep and got into some exile material, got into some more vulnerable memories, there can be a rebound effect or a rubber band effect and some punishment that happens from the protectors. So we really want to make sure that that material is metabolized by all the parts as people are emerging and integrating out of the other side. So I hope that kind of answered your question.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And I've seen exactly what you've described. I've seen people come both in a ketamine journey, and I've seen people come to psilocybin truffles, which we do in the Netherlands, and they're gung-ho. They're like, we made it. We're here. We're ready. We're ready. And then as soon as there's this shift into, okay, we're about to go into either dosing or into the ceremony, I've seen them get riled up. And all of a sudden there's like a hijack, a protector part that either starts saying, oh, but no, maybe now isn't this the right time, or like, you know, it's a fluttering. And so we generally invite people to do some form of IFS, either therapy with someone, or at least doing this sort of parts mapping, as you described, or doing a meditation where they can get in touch with these protector parts just to learn more about them. And like you said, to ask them questions. How are you feeling about this? Are you really ready? And it's okay if you're not. Like, we can back out, which, you know, of course, triggers other parts to be like, but no, we've paid all this money, or I heard that this was going to work, you know. But it's, I see it as really crucial.
I love that. I always have the conversation saying, you can say no right up until you ingest the medicine or you get the injection, right? And then you're in the ride. Yeah. So it's all about consent, right? And to your point, Wondre, I love that you said that, because we, you know, as soon as you let go of the rope and say, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, inevitably, exactly those parts go, wait, I want to do this.
Yeah. And then they can negotiate internally, like, okay.
Exactly.
So I remember hearing Dick when he was talking about how this model arrived, that at first he was afraid, like, oh no, maybe my client is sicker than I thought. Maybe they actually have this dissociative identity disorder. And now recognizing that, yes, we all have parts and they are often very polarized. They have different wants and desires and different voices. But would you say that if someone really did have dissociative identity disorder, DID, would they not be a candidate for a ketamine journey or psychedelics, because there's maybe a fear that one might get polarized even more and become super dominant? Or
that's a really interesting question. So,
because normally, like, we think of bipolar or schizophrenia are the, you know, kind of the hard nose for sitting with like psilocybin or ayahuasca. But
So I mean, there are a couple of layers to that question. In IFS, a pure IFS model, we don't pathologize. So DID doesn't even exist in the IFS model, which is really interesting. It's looked at as very extreme parts. They're insulated from one another, right? So the idea is that you can work with those parts to get them to be less polarized and insular and more in communication with self energy. Of course, that takes a lot of work and a lot of sessions, right, to get that, because the more insulated they are from one another, the more work to, you know, bring them together. So in that case, if you're looking at it through the IFS lens, I would say you would definitely want to spend more time prior to a psychedelic journey in getting, doing IFS sessions, EMDR sessions to really bring someone with what would be called DID or insulated parts in more harmony. When I vet people for psychedelic work, I'm really looking for access to self energy, no matter what their diagnosis is. How are they able to access self energy? And I'm not going into really profound psychedelic work unless I feel like they are able to connect to self, right? Because that's the ground and the substrate that's going to help them integrate all of this material. Another conversation is if you are going with a pathologizing model and looking at someone who has bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, I vet people like that have those issues out, because what we don't want is to, have a manic episode after. And there is research that says that the classic psychedelics that bind to those 5-HT2A receptors have more of a propensity to cause mania for people that have that background, right? And so we're really being careful with that. I always think about what I learned from Sasha Shulgin when I met Sasha in 2005. He was the creator of MDMA. I attended a lecture of his at Burning Man, and he said, people that have more rigid thinking structures do great with psychedelics. People that have disorganized thinking structures of disorganized minds have more difficulty, right? And so going with people that have more rigid thinking structures is a safer bet. So I kind of think of it that way. You don't want to make something that's disorganized more disorganized and less reliable and more upsetting, for someone. So, and I do know people that have had probably a propensity for schizophrenia that, like I had a friend who got puddled with LSD, and when in her 20s, she already was starting to have some schizophrenic episodes, and that just put her in a full-blown, episode. So, I think we do need to be really cautious with these medicines too, and err on the side of caution until we have more research to support how to use these medicines safely.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. Well, before you were doing what you're doing now, you were a full-on Jungian archetype therapist. And so I'm really curious to hear, how has it been to integrate those insights? Like, what are you seeing with archetypal imagery in either journeys or in the prep and integration work?
Yeah, I always think of Jung as kind of and archetypal psychology is like the mother of all the other modalities that I use. It's the collective unconscious. It's archetypal, and just like IFS, I think that IFS is very Jungian actually, and they work beautifully together. I don't think that Dick would say that. I think he feels like it's really a discrete different model than that, but I really see a lot of parallels. And it's interesting because IFS is much more easy to understand than archetypal psychology. Archetypal psychology can be really complex, and I think that's why it's not like really a mainstream methodology. But archetypes obviously weave themselves beautifully into psychedelic journeys. And when I was so excited, I was out of Pacifica Graduate Institute and so excited to use dream analysis, and I didn't get to use it very much in my practice, and I was so excited about it. Some of my really high functioning, inquisitive, self-aware clients would love to do dream work, but it was less common. So now I get to use this all the time, right? Because how I see it is that the parts of us are really showing us this vivid symbolic material. And for whatever reason, our minds don't say in a psychedelic journey, usually, sometimes they do, but usually they don't say, you need to call your mother at 3 o'clock on Tuesday and talk to her about that time. It'll show you some big ornate archetypal thing of some mother energy and flowers growing out of her hair, and these issues that you have with her is like, you turning away and going behind a tree or whatever. It's like takes some work for us to interpret it. And I've come to understand that I think the reason why our psyche creates that is to leave that leave it open-ended so it doesn't get collapsed into a very linear, rigid story. Because sometimes, often, these symbols can be interpreted from many different lenses. It's really interesting and fun to play with. So you could look at that, you know, a symbolic dreamlike content and take it literally as this is my mother and this is my, you know, my, me turning away from her. Or you could look at it like all these parts in this vision are actually symbols for me and different parts of my internalized world. So that open-endedness that archetypal material provides us, symbolic material provides us, really allows us to play with it and keep the story going, keep the process going instead of closing it, if that makes sense. So I love, love, love working with that material. And I can give you stories about how that might show up if you're interested in.
Yeah, I'd love to hear, because I'd love to hear, you know, do you guide people, or is it just people that you work with privately that would have the opportunity to share with you either the images that came up or how does it work?
Yeah. So, I'll give you a story of a client about a client that, I was doing, a psycholytic dose ketamine session with her. So it was a low dose where she could engage and talk to me. This is one of my favorite things to do, is use IFS with low dose ketamine and engage with the client and do like a dreamlike journey. Right. So she was having this experience where she was stuck on a wall. And you can imagine if she went to a ketamine clinic and talked to no one, right? Was just hooked up to a ketamine clinic. This would have been terrifying. She's stuck on a wall and she's just sliding along a wall for her journey. And so she told me this and she was really frightened. And so I started working with her about parts. And obviously internally I'm understanding, oh, this is a protector. She's stuck on a wall. She wants to go further, but she can't because this wall is blocking her. So we start talking about it, and oh, this wall is the wall of a castle. I'm on the outside of a castle and I'm sliding along the wall. So then we start doing this IFS work, the six Fs, the healing steps, about how, you know, talking to the protectors, what's going on, how do you feel toward them, etc. And as we're working, all of a sudden there's a window. This window opens up in the wall. So she goes and looks through the window, and it's this tiny, tiny window. She's looking deeply through the window, and here's this little girl that's in a courtyard. Okay, so now internally I'm understanding, but I'm letting her inform me, but I'm understanding, okay, this is probably an exile. Let's ask, you know, what's going on. So yes, this little girl that's lost in this courtyard crying and alone is this exiled part of her, right? So I'm using IFS, but working with this symbolic imagery that the parts are showing us to help create a dialogue that's happening, the therapeutic dialogue. It's really fun and creative and helpful, right? So as she's looking through this window, the window gets bigger. So the protector is allowing us more access to the exile. And then a drawbridge actually opens and comes down so that we can actually move into the courtyard to get closer to the little girl, right? So this is a way, a really wonderful way that we as facilitators can really work with parts. And it gives this, you know, florid imagery, which people do anyway, even when they're not on medicine usually, but the ketamine or the psychedelic can really amplify the ability for us to work with that.
Are you a therapist, a coach, or a doctor who might be interested in providing safe, ethical, and legal psychedelic preparation or integration? Then check out my new course with the Academy of Therapy Wisdom. It is the Trauma-Informed Psychedelic Therapist. I'm really proud of this course. It includes pre-recorded modules as well as live calls and homework and group discussions that will really help you prepare for this exciting field in the most ethical and trauma-informed way. So check that out. If you happen to be a person who wants to prepare for your own psychedelic journey, whether you're doing that with ketamine or in a legal setting or flying to South America, I want you to be prepared. So check out my course, The Ultimate Guide to Safe Psychedelic Preparation. It is a jam-packed, full-on course that will teach you about psychedelic substances, their legality, how to prepare yourself, especially if you've had any trauma in your background, what to look for in a relatable and reliable and safe shaman or psychedelic facilitator. In the Ultimate Guide course, we also meet once a month so that you can ask me questions live. You can also connect with a global community of emerging psychonauts. So check out these two resources for you. I've made them with all of my heart and love so that you can be prepared and be safe. Yeah, that's a beautiful illustration. I could see it and feel it. And you know, the thing that I'm often struck by is people are often able to interpret them themselves. But something that you mentioned is like sometimes there's multiple ways that we can see these archetypal images. And I see that for myself. You know, I think I've shared with you before that I've heard a lot of people get visions when they sit with medicine. And like big, I'm talking like, you know, either a heroic dose or they're really sitting with the great mother. And these visions are like out of this world. And some people think, okay, well, maybe it was just metaphoric and I don't have to do anything. But I have a part that's like, I'm a doer. And I've got a part that's like, I'm gonna like take it to the edge. If I got a message, then it probably came from the divine. And it's been interesting for me because in the last couple of years, I did connect with my beloved. He was in France. I didn't know him. I was in Costa Rica and I connected with this. It was a silhouette. So I didn't see a face. It was just a silhouette. And I knew that I was vibing and feeling all this love and joy. And then a month later, when we matched on an app, after our first little video call, I was like, oh my God, that's the same soul energy I connected with. And yeah. I was able to trust that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's really a question in that, but I wonder, you know, because I find that some people can, they trust it or they get what they need from it. And I think other people need someone to bounce it off of or to work through.
I love that you shared that story. I haven't heard that particular story from you. Thank you. That's beautiful. Yeah, something that we don't talk about enough, I think, in the Western medical world with psychedelics is that we're opening to mystical experiences, to these other realms of reality, right? And our guides are there and we can get downloads. We can get, I mean, I've had many, many, many really important direction from psychedelic journeys. It's, you know, it happens all the time when we know how to decipher, right? And that's really the key is, you know, I always tell people, don't make any major changes right after a psychedelic journey. Yeah. Metabolize it first, and what's true will remain true for you.
Right.
Right. But yeah, I think that, and it's interesting because Jung talked about big dreams and how they were different. Big dreams were different than just kind of, you know, going through your day and making sense of the little stuff. Sometimes we have these really big awakenings, and psychedelics can bring us there. And I've seen people have big awakenings on really low doses of ketamine too. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's the amount of medicine necessarily. I mean, it can be, but yeah. And you know, I'm so curious with psychedelic medicines. This is a quandary that I'm constantly in. Am I inventing this from the confines of my skull, which a lot of researchers say,
yeah.
Am I an inventor or am I a discoverer? Are there realms that I'm going to that I'm accessing that exist outside of me? I think it's not an either or. I think it's an and. I think it's both.
Mm-hmm.
I think that our psyches need to interpret a lot of information. And so Aldous Huxley says the human brain is a reducing valve. I think that our psyche has to make sense of what we see and feel. So, you know, someone who's a Buddhist might see the Buddha, someone who's a Christian might see Jesus, but that archetypal symbolism is the same. It means the same thing. It's the process of the divine, right? Mm. So that's I think it's such a fun way to think about it that, you know, how do you play with these downloads? How do you know to take that literally? How do you know, Andrea, if that's something from the past, something from the future that's going to happen? It's interesting to play with that. And there's some, you know, there's something like in your body where you just know. Yeah. There's a knowing, like, this is it. This is the download I'm getting. And there's a knowing.
Yeah. And I feel like for me, sacred medicines have helped me really trust my intuition because it is a knowing. I find that in the medicine space, when I know something, it's just a full body awareness, such that, you know, when I matched with my husband on this app, it was a knowing, like my body reacted in a very different way than I've ever reacted in all my life. And I do remember hearing a voice, the voice of Mother Ayahuasca, kind of like reminding me, like, remember what I showed you? And now I feel like I've got this, I don't know, I've got this heightened intuition. I've always had it since I was a kid, but there were times when, you know, the rational doctor-y version of me started to say, well, you know, I can't really back this up, but I do feel like, I think to your point, I feel like, are we an inventor or are we like receiving? I think that because we live in a conscious universe, our conscious as well as the unconscious gets to interact. Like we are co-creators of experience. And I'd love to hear, you know, what your thoughts are on tapping into ancestors. You know, in the IFS model, Dick and others talk a lot about healing intergenerational trauma, being able to give things back, which I did in one of my mushroom journeys. I was able to give back stuff that just had been transferred down my family line. And I could feel like, oh, all this time, I thought it was my fault. I thought this was mine, and it's not. So I'd love to hear, you know, how do you see this intergenerational or ancestral healing that's possible for us?
Oh, such a great thing to talk about. And yeah, IFS has a part of the model is working with legacy burdens, right? And calling in the ancestors and passing back those traumas to where they originated. And not that the original person needs to suffer, but that you're helping unburden your ancestors with the pain and the trauma. And I've done work with that, you know, at retreats where, you know, I had a woman who was her whole, you know, Aya journey was all about her family and the slave ships that came, that brought her family to the new world. And it was horrible and traumatizing, right? Like this journey just went on and on. And then we did IFS work, and it was so interesting because it was like that example I was giving you before about working with the symbolism. We were doing this work as she was coming out around that there might be another option, because her whole journey was about, do I have everybody jump off the ship, or do we just go to the new world and have this horrible experience? And it was so beautiful because as we were doing the legacy burden work, she said, oh, there's a third option. I'm going to turn the ship around and go back home. And so she did this corrective experience of going back home, forget about that story. I'm not going to have that. And then there was this whole legacy burden work to go back. And so, and she was saying that she could see all of her ancestors just dancing and celebrating, that she didn't have to carry that pain anymore. Right. Oh, it was so moving. Yeah. So, you know, there is incredible work that we can do, and that I feel like ayahuasca in particular has a signature of facilitating ancestor work, right? I mean, I've had those experiences too in my work, where going back along my matrilineal line through my Italian family and all the pain and suffering that the women went through, you know, and passing that back. So I think that some medicines are more aligned with ancestor work than others, which is really interesting. And ayahuasca does seem to have that signature. And we can do really potent work. And sometimes we're not even aware of these burdens that we carry from our ancestors until we're in the medicine space. And then it's, oh my, I have a lot. I carry a lot, right?
Yeah, it definitely happened in my case, which is what led to me purging and releasing an old identity and changing my name, you know?
Amazing. Yeah. I love that you're so attuned to that too, that you get it. Like, oh yes, I need to do this work and I can be free of it. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It takes courage to do that, you know, to be the one that changes the ancestry line.
It absolutely does. Yeah. Courage, fortitude, and good preparation.
Yep. And metabolizing all of that, right? When you come out. Yes, yeah. That's right. Can change this. Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So I know you also welcome people in Costa Rica for journeys. Tell me a little bit about that work. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing more of it. I just purchased property there, so it's
Congratulations.
yeah, thank you. So I want to be spending more time there. But yeah, I mean, it's just such a beautiful container for the work. I'm really becoming more and more interested in doing multiple day retreats with groups of people. I understand that it's not just the molecule. And it's not just the session, and it's not just the therapy. It's the container that we're in with nature, the music that's played, the songs we sing, the other people that are at the retreat, and the work that we do together. And I'm increasingly interested in potentiating the medicine work in this holistic way. And Costa Rica really lends itself beautifully to that because it's such a gorgeous environment, you know, yeah, the medicine seemed to like being in an environment like that.
Well, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for who you are, for all that you're sharing in the world and supporting therapists to incorporate the Theradelic approach and speaking at conferences and doing all the podcasts and the videos. I mean, it's a lot of work to be front and center, and I'm so grateful for you and grateful to have you in my life. For those who want to tap into your work, you can get, of course, the Theradelic approach at any book retailer, and they can check you out at sunnystrasburgtherapy.com.
That's right. Thank you so much. And thank you for the work you do. I'm such a huge fan, and it feels so good to sit with you and have a conversation. It's so aligned with what you're doing. And we are also lucky to have you out in the world as well.
Thank you. Well, I look forward to seeing you again in person. And until then, many blessings on your path.
Same. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the Conscious Evolution Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, subscribe, and leave us a review and rating on your favorite podcast player. This helps us get the content out to a larger audience. And to watch the video version of the podcast, visit the Pennington Media YouTube channel. Want more info on how psychedelics may improve your mental well-being, how to choose a retreat, or what to look for in a shaman? Get on the Psychedelic Curious email journal. The link is in the show notes and on my website. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series, where each month I take a deep dive into a topic in holistic healing, trauma recovery, self-love, resilience, and psychedelic-assisted therapy. Listening to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series. Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.